I want to begin just by asking a question before the choir sing for us again in a few moments. And it's this: why do we sing at Christmas? You know, why are there carols, you know, all over the place at Christmas, and songs like you two have written? Why is there so much singing? You know, you walk into Asda and there's a choir outside. Now that's quite odd, isn't it? It's quite strange. Why? What is it, this connection between Christmas and singing and even choirs? Well, if you look at the Christmas story, what you find right in the middle of the Christmas story is a choir and a carol. A choir and a carol. And we're going to look at the first ever Christmas carol just for a few minutes. And you already heard it read to you from Luke chapter 2. And it says these words. And I just want to help you to picture it. The shepherds. You know about the shepherds, don't we? Shepherds, they're on the hills. They're doing what shepherds do at night. They're just looking after their sheep, watching out for their sheep. Yeah, that's what shepherds do. And all of a sudden, their ordinary night gets transformed because an angel comes, and then not only does an angel come, but suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel praising God and saying these words: glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favors rests. Can you imagine what it would have been like for those shepherds? They're just looking after their sheep, you know, and, you know, probably cold, probably done it hundreds and hundreds of times before. But this night, everything is different. An ordinary day gets transformed. I don't know what an ordinary day for you looks like. Maybe with Christmas, an ordinary day for you is something like going shopping. Has anyone had to do any Christmas shopping yet? Yeah, a few of us. I've managed to avoid it so far. Well, if you inhabit the world of YouTube, you may have seen this. But I'm going to show you a YouTube clip of some people having an ordinary shopping experience that suddenly gets transformed into something extraordinary. Great, isn't it? I think you can, if you want to see that again, I think you can see it on the Facebook Holland Road page. So do go and have a look at that. Why did I show you? I thought it'd be a good idea for our choir to go to Churchill Square and do that. That'd be great. Well, it's quite amazing. The reason I showed you that is that experience for those shoppers is a little bit like, and a little picture of, the experience of the shepherds for that first Christmas carol. Something very ordinary, like going shopping, gets transformed into something extraordinary. For the shepherds, just going around their ordinary work, their ordinary lives, and it gets transformed into something extraordinary. One of the things I love about Christmas is the amazing thing that ordinary things can be transformed into extraordinary things. And I've actually been praying that for us even tonight. And one of the reasons we can have an expectation of something ordinary like a carol service being transformed into something extraordinary is because of what the angels actually sing in that first Christmas carol. Let me just read it again. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. Now, you probably know that off by heart. Anyway, it's called the Deo Gloria, isn't it? Gloria in excelsis Deo. Glory to God in the highest. The angels are really excited about God. They're recognizing the sort of the majesty and the glory and the just the amazing reality of God. But specifically, they're responding, and if you remember the reading, they're responding to something that the angel has already said. And the angel said these words: do not be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. They're singing in response, particularly to this message. To this message that Jesus has come into the world. The Savior, the Christ, the Anointed One, the one everyone's just been waiting for, the Rescuer, the one who's going to finally sort this world out. And they're really excited about him. But did you notice they're also excited not just about Jesus, but they're excited about us. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. Why are the angels excited about peace? Well, if you just go somewhere where there's war, you know, if you were to go to Afghanistan, you wouldn't need much convincing of the need of peace. You know, peace is desperately needed in our world. There's so much in our world that isn't of peace, isn't there? There's so many wars and conflicts going on, so much greed, so much division, so much hatred. A message of peace presumes there is some kind of conflict going on, yeah? But here's the interesting thing about when the angels sang this. So 2,000 years ago, when the angels sing this message of peace, it's kind of the only one of the few times in history when there isn't a war going on. It's the period, I did history at university, it's the period called Pax Romana. It's the Roman peace. This is the one time where, you know, the Romans have conquered everywhere. You know, everywhere's at peace. There's an extraordinary peace going on in the world at the moment. And the angels come and sing a message of peace. Why? Why? What is the peace that they are talking about? Well, the angels are bringing a message of peace to a conflict that is responsible for every other conflict, from the conflict between a husband and wife, don't know if you ever argue with your wife or husband, if you have one, to even the worst wars that take place. You don't need to go very far to discover the source of this conflict, to discover why the angels are bringing a message of peace and why it's needed. You just need to take a moment to look into your own heart. I wonder, have you ever noticed a conflict in your heart? So, have you ever been in a situation where you think, oh, I really should do this, but I think I'm going to do this instead? Or you do something, or you say something, and you think, I really shouldn't have done that. I do that quite a lot. Yeah, you ever done that? Yeah, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. Have you ever thought, why? Why do we have this sort of inner monologue going on in our brains where we're wondering about this and that and how we should act? Well, these conflicts within us point to a bigger conflict. The Bible says we are made in God's image. We have a tremendous capacity for good. But we also, as we look around our world, we see that we have a tremendous capacity for evil as well. The Bible says that the thing that spoils goodness, the thing that brings that jealousy and that discord and that division, is this thing called sin. And I noticed one of the cards had sin on them. And sin is a funny word that sometimes people like, sometimes people don't like. But sin at its heart is basically just living life. Instead of saying glory to God in the highest, like the angels, it's saying glory to me. Saying, I'm going to just live my way. How I want to live. You know, Frank Sinatra sang, didn't he, famously, I did it my way. And it's a song that lots of people love. And it's a great song. But at its heart, it's that message of sin, really, which says, right, I'm just going to live life my way. And the result of that has been the discord and the relationship breakdowns and all of that has led to, and the lack of peace in this world. That's the ordinary for us. A lack of peace within us and a lack of peace with God. And the reason that the angels are excited is because this Christmas story is about peace being restored. About peace coming. It's about lives being transformed, as we saw with those cardboard testimonies. How does it happen? How do lives get changed? How does peace come? Well, the angels sang, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. It literally means peace to those with whom God is pleased. Okay? With whom God is pleased. Who's God pleased with? Who is God pleased with? He's pleased with the good people, yeah? Surely he's pleased with the... It's often what we think. Many people have a view of God. It's a bit like Father Christmas. My children, Joseph and Thea, they went to see Father Christmas yesterday at the Christmas fair. What does Father Christmas ask when you go to see him? Have you been good? That question used to terrify me. Because, to be honest, I knew that very often I wasn't good. Is that how God works? Does he sort of weigh up our sort of good things and our bad things? Is God like that? Have you been good enough this year? Have you been good enough this year? Well, does God work like that? The answer is no and no. No, we haven't been good enough. Any of us. None of us have been good enough. But no, thankfully God doesn't work like that. Over the page in the Bible, we discover who God is pleased with. And there's this moment recorded of Jesus' baptism, and God speaks at Jesus' baptism and says these words, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him, I am well pleased." With him, I'm well pleased. God is pleased with Jesus. The perfect one, this one that we're singing about, this one who came into the world, who lived this perfect life. God is pleased with him. And because of who he is and what he has done, he is able to bring peace to us. The perfect man, Jesus. And we remember this at Easter, don't we? The perfect man, Jesus, dies in our place to bring imperfect people back to God and to bring an end to that conflict with God and with each other. Peace on earth. We heard those wonderful readings in different languages earlier on in the service, didn't we? And one of the ways that Jesus is described in those readings is Prince of Peace. He's the one who comes and brings peace. How do you experience peace this Christmas? How do you experience peace with others and ultimately peace with God? Well, it's through embracing the one God is pleased with, his Son, Jesus Christ. If you embrace the Prince of Peace, if you come to the Prince of Peace, then you can know the amazing peace that God brings to earth. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. I don't know what ordinary life looks like for you at the moment, whether it's shopping, whether life's good, life's great, life's okay. I don't know whether life's hard or or complex. But whatever your ordinary is at the moment, the Christmas story is about God coming into people's lives and changing ordinary things into something extraordinary. And he does that through his son, Jesus. The Christmas choir reminds us that God meets us where we are and can change and transform us and give us his peace. I'm going to end now with a prayer from another carol that many of you will know. It's O Little Town of Bethlehem. And the last verse is a prayer. And if you want to know this peace with God, if you want to know peace this Christmas, I'd encourage you just to make this prayer your own. Echo it quietly in your heart. Hopefully it's going to be up on the screen behind me. And you can ask for God to bring you his peace this Christmas. I'm going to just pray this now. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us. Abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. Thank you for listening. I hope you were able to pray that prayer. If you did, do feel free to have a chat with myself or David or Casey, one of the choir. But we're now going to have the treat of hearing the choir again. We're going to sing, O Holy Night.
We're going to stand and sing our last carol together. It's the first Noel. So if you'd like to stand with me.
Well, that's it for this evening, folks. Thank you so much for coming. Can we hear a special thank you for Katie, just for all that she's done, and choir? I know you'd want to thank Katie as well. It's been absolutely wonderful. And thank you, choir, for letting us in on your informal evening with you. It's been a delight and a joy, and we know, too, that you're going to be here next week. And so we just want to say, as you just do your last preparing for that, thank you ever so much for all the time and effort you've put in. Can we give it up for the choir one more time? Mustn't forget Alison on the band. Why don't you just say thank you to Alison and those in the band for Sam and Adam and Josh. And thank you, Ben. It's great. And all that's left for me to say is you're welcome back anytime. Particularly, do come back next week and join us for our candlelight service. And if you fancy going out on the street like that flash mob of choristers and doing some choir singing this week, people love it. We're going out on Thursday. And you're welcome to come and join us. There may even be someone on the door you can let know and let them know they're coming. I think we're gathering here. It should be information in your news sheet from earlier. So thank you once again for coming. Choir, is there a sort of final thing as we leave? So do take your seats, everyone, and enjoy it. But thank you so much for coming. To us,